We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
2:01 p.m. Saturday afternoon. It's actually really interesting for me to kind of grab lunch on the way in here today. Used to
Where'd you go?
Coming here on
Where'd you eat? You didn't tell me we were having lunch.
I ate at home. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Really interesting to me to come in here. I'm usually coming here on two wheels at like, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning to hang out. You got Mike Johnson, Squidbill here. It's the 92.9 NFL draft special, we're calling it.
Day 3 draft special.
Day 3.
They thought so much of us.
Well, we're not just talking about Day 3. We're talking about Day 1 and 2. So I'm gonna call it the NFL draft special. Yeah. We are special. In a lot of different ways. Huh. You in different ways than me.
Not the. Oh, really?
No, I probably won't elaborate. I'll probably flush that. Look, man, we're going to talk about. And speaking of which, 404-726-0929. We're going to talk about some of the winners and losers from the first couple of days. We are also, what are we, four slots away from getting Atlanta's next pick. Right now, Arizona's on the clock. Fifth round, pick number 138. Then you got Washington, the Chargers, Buffalo, the Colts, and then the Falcons. So you're five picks away from seeing what they're going to do coming up next.
And they picked Xavier Thomas, Edge, Clemson. I love how Edge is now. Edge was never a position. Like, it was defensive end.
We talked about this the other day.
And now it's Edge.
It's outside linebacker, defensive end. It's kind of gone by way of the 4-3-3-4 conversation. I don't want to hear any more about the 4-3-3-4. First of all, there's nobody running three linebackers out. On a down and that out basis, anyways.
Do you remember any media talk when you were a player? I know you want to ask this Michael Penix. I can't say Michael Penix question.
I got a little slip of the
tongue
there.
Mike couldn't say his name. If you guys are not familiar with the morning shift, Mike couldn't say his name for months.
Had to seriously work on it.
And we would try to tell him that I was making fun of
E for a while.
I was making fun of him in the break when he said he was going to ask me a Michael Penix question. I was saying the wrong way, then almost said it on the air. do you remember when you were playing, and we brought Mike Nolan in as DC?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the talk that off season was, are we going to run a 3-4 or a 4-3?
Yeah.
And Nolan, Nolan was a different dude, but he was really good with the media, and he was like, We're gonna run a 4-3 with 3-4 tendencies, and then he goes, or maybe we'll run a 3-4 with 4-3 tendencies.
It's just so ridiculous to me.
So that was, comment, that was during the phase of them, the league kind of transitioning into hybrid defenses.
Yeah, and it was, listen, odd fronts were becoming really widely used in college. When I was in college, you didn't see the odd three-down front on third and long all the time. And then I remember my offensive line coach, Joe Pendry, who'd been around football since the 60s. He was literally with Bobby Bowden at West Virginia, and he was like, I don't know what it is about the college game. Everybody wants to run a three-down front. You know, it's like it's like the flavor of the week, but it's the flavor of the decade. And everybody started doing it. Now it's just what you do in football. So I wanted to ask you this question. We'll get to the phone lines in just a second. If you're on the line, hang on with us. We'll get you in just a minute. Here's my scenario for you. I hope that Kirk Cousins stays healthy. I hope he stays healthy for the next 3 or 4 years. If Kirk Cousins has to sit out for, let's call it 3 weeks this year, we're weeks 8, 9, and 10. He's played 7 games. The Falcons are 4-3. You've had a decently rough schedule up to that point. And Kirk Cousins, pulls a hamstring. That's not going to happen.
The most least likely injury that's that Kirk Cousins
because,
would have.
Because I don't want to talk it into existence, we're going to pull the hamstring.
Okay, good. I figured you might say, you know, Caleb McGarry.
Michael don't say that. Michael Penix comes in. He goes 2-1 in 3 weeks as a starter.
Okay.
Now you're sitting at, no, I'm not, no.
No,
my
no.
only question is, it's not, I don't think the question is, does Penix take over? No, that's not the question for me. The question is Terry Fontenot, does some of the pressure of this pick come off of his back? Like, is he found to be a guy who actually did the right thing? Does he come out looking great? If Penix comes in for three games this year and wins two of them, does Terry Fontenot come out like the champion of the world?
I think no. I think that this city, I think you have to, first off, it's not that simple, unfortunately. It's easy to say, but did they win despite Michael Penix? Well, I mean, does he put up those numbers, similar numbers that kind of Desmond put up in 21? No, 22?
Yeah.
At the end of the season where they kind of they won, but it was
– no touchdowns, no interceptions?
Yeah. and he just did the bare minimum because then you just – then I think this city would say, well, I saw Desmond Ritter do the same thing. He went 2-2, and I don't know – And then who are you playing? Are you playing good teams? Are you playing bad teams? I think there's a lot to look into it. I think it definitely makes you look a little bit smarter because you go, yeah, see, he's a better player than Heinicke right now. And so I think that would kind of alleviate because you upgraded in fans' mind and you helped win two games, which, look, if you're 4-3 and a guy gets hurt and then you're 6-4 when he comes back,
yeah,
coming out of a bye week, which kind of would be, that's if you had that
you're
bye week
in
the middle of the year.
Yeah.
You look like you built a really solid team, 1-53. And that's all GM is trying to do. Building a solid team, 1-53, based on what the players or the coach says he needs to go get, type of player, whether it's that player or not in free agency. Yes, I think it alleviates some, but I don't think it makes him look like a genius yet. In order for Terry Fontenot to look like a genius, you need to win. You need to make the playoffs the next 2 years. Kirk rides off in the sunset either to retirement or another team, and Michael Penix steps in third year, and you don't miss a beat as far as offensive production. I don't know what happens on the other side, but you can't miss a beat offensive production.
Well, I know you want to get these lines in just a second, but let me just say this. Terry Fontenot looking great in the eyes of the fans will have nothing to do with Michael Penix, in my opinion. How many sacks do you have on the year to that point? That's what's going to make Terry Fontenot look great or not great in my eyes as at that point in the season.
And that's why this draft to me is going to be looked at in two different ways. What you did on day one and what you've done since. Because since round two started, I have capital Z, capital E, capital RO issues, zero issues what they've done. Because they have went at the trenches on the D-line, which has been the weakest part of this team, where they have gotten a D-tackle that can play from 0 to 9, an edge rusher, that's linebacker that's going to stand on the edge, stand up. You'll drop him in pass situations at times when you need it, but he can do that. And another defensive lineman that can play essentially, and did in college. I don't think he will in the NFL. I don't think he's playing the nose in the NFL.
I don't either.
But in college, he played from nose to essentially the edge.
I'm just going to call him a B-gap. I think he'll be a B-gap player.
Yeah, and doorless. So I think you got I think you're filling needs with players that fit this scheme.
Yeah.
And honestly, they're all – so far you haven't gotten a player outside the top 10 of their position.
Yeah.
And you're already at one. You're in pick 140. You're about to pick at 143. All right, E. Let's head to the phone lines. Let's get Sean in Atlanta. Sean, you're on with Mike and Squid. It's the day three 92.9 The Game draft special. What you got for us, my man?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing? It's my first call in.
Hey, man,
awesome.
Appreciate it.
I think Michael Penix Jr. was an awesome pick, mainly because I don't see Kirk Cousins spending a lot of years. I think that as far as the quarterbacks in the draft, Michael Penix was probably one of the best processors when it comes to, you know, what's happening on the field, what's, you know, his processing the defenses and things like that. Caleb was more of a splash play type of guy. Jaden was more of a splash play type of guy, in my opinion. And I think that, you know, as far as generational talent in the defense, there was not enough for us to waste that first-round pick and pass on maybe a great quarterback to fill in when Kurt is gone. All right. with that. Thank you, fellas.
I think his last comment right there is one of the biggest keys to me of finding ways to kind of wade through this draft so far. I don't think that there was a player that anybody defensively was in love with. And I mentioned that a number of times on our show. There was not the Miles Garrett, Will Anderson. There was not the number one overall pick that you had to have at the edge. And I think that is what started this butterfly effect of leading these guys to take a quarterback at eight.
First off, I want to address what you said about Michael Penix as far as his evaluation. I think, Sean, I thought that was a great evaluation of the quarterbacks in the draft. Caleb Williams was absolutely splash player. Jaden Daniels makes splashes, but when it comes to processing and playing in the pocket and moving around in the pocket, you're absolutely right about Penix. I think that it's easy to say there's not a generational player in this draft, but I hate to break to you, but no one thought Aaron Donald was a generational, and no one thought Micah Parsons a generational. They just
weren't.
About
T.J. Watt? About I mean, just you don't ever know, though. I mean, that's the problem. You don't ever know.
You don't.
That go in the teens.
But I think Byron Murphy could be.
I mean, I've watched, film for the Rams and trying to figure out what they're going to do defensively, especially with all these defense tackle draft picks. And I watched him against Lamar Jackson and think about what his draft story was like. He was so mad on draft night that he could not believe he slipped that far. There was questions about whether or not he was going to play wide receiver. And here he is with an MVP and be one of the best players in the league and one of the highest paid players in the league. You just don't know. The problem throughout this entire thing is Penix a good pick? Here's the question, and we could talk about what's going to alleviate Terry Fontenot from being on the hot seat or not on the hot seat, or will this draft look good? I don't think this pick guarantees you that Michael Penix is going to be here longer than Raheem Morris. I think when I look at it from that angle, I don't know, like you and Terry said this today, well, if he has to sit 4 or 5 years, that means you're in a good spot. Okay.
If he sits, hold on a second.
That's what Terry said.
But let me ask you a question. If Kirk Cousins, if you know, after year three, you cannot move on with Kirk Cousins. There is no 4 years. In fact, you're screwed at that point because you have to pick up the fifth-year option on Michael Penix, or you have to make the decision on it. And so basically, if you don't, you're going to say, well, I'm just going to be okay with the fact that you might ball out and I have to pay you, like, full market value. And I can't.
Yeah.
Because what happens is if he balls out for year three and you know you want to do a Jordan Love-type contract, right, you can at least pick you still picked up that fifth-year option, and you can give him that money, but you're still getting a quarterback really cheap in year five, and he's guaranteed for the next few years, and that high AAV against the cap doesn't count till year six. So it helps you because you're actually going to be able to play the game where you have him for a couple of years, and this money frees up from the quarterback, and then boom.
That's a problem for future Terry.
Well, but I'm saying, boom, you can pick up some players and maybe win with him. Let's go to Brad in Villa Rica real quick before we get out of here. Brad, what do you think, man? What do you think about the Falcons draft so far?
What up, Brad?
Hey, what's up? Just real quick, proud member of the Mafia.
That's right,
go
baby.
Mafia. Woo-hoo. But anyways, it's good to hear you guys on the weekends. I love y'all's show in the mornings.
Appreciate
but,
that, man.
I really like this pick. I just feel like, you know, we spent this money for Kirk, and Kirk knows it. So I feel like let Kirk do his job and let him do his duty. Maybe get him a Super Bowl ring for the Falcons and then hand it over to Penix. Let Penix take over. So I kind of feel like we have a 10-year secured spot with Penix. So I like the pick. And once again, proud member of the Mafia.
Yes, sir.
Go Falcons. See you guys.
Thanks, Brad. Let me tell you something.
Flam. Thank
obviously,
you, Brad.
Brad calls in the morning shift and during the wake-up call a lot. You can call at 8 a.m. too and tell us how you're part of the nation. if you get – I'll tell you something. And Brad just said it. You want to know what would make Terry Fontenot a genius? It doesn't matter what happens with Michael Penix. It does not matter. Kirk Cousins wins the Super Bowl. No one cares.
Kirk Cousins wins the Super Bowl. We might be building a statue of both of them hugging each other outside of Mercedes-Benz. Terry hugging Kirk and Raheem right there in the middle. You know what I mean? Maybe Raheem is on the phone with Michael Penix in the statue.
Well, that's what it is. I'm talking about Kirk Cousins winning one, though. I don't think we need Michael Penix.
My point is that if we win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years, all of them might have a statue, is my point. Like, we might as well build the whole thing. Let's put all of them out there.
Hey, real quick.
Put Caleb McGarry on a statue.
The Chargers just picked Cam Hart. The Falcons are close to being on the clock. The Colts are picking now. But Cam Hart, a guy that Cam Hart and Joe Alt, guys that Harbaugh had seen play, Notre Dame guys, they also got Junior Colson from Michigan. And that might have been one of the top two linebackers, yeah, according to most.
It was.
The Chargers, and they got Ladd, too. They're surprised. Like, I know we all were like, are you serious when they picked Joe Alt instead of Malik Nabers? But they're quietly having a decent draft.
I'm on board with it. You know me.
Well, of course you are. You're damn offensive lineman.
All right, man, we're going to roll on here. It's the NFL Draft Special here on Sports Radio 929 The Game. When we come back, we're going to talk about this Falcons draft pick that's coming in here in just about 5 minutes. We're also going to get you some sound from Michael Penix joining Dukes and Bell. You don't want to miss it. Stick with us. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
With the 143rd pick in the round 5 in the NFL draft, the Atlanta Falcons take J.D. Bertrand, linebacker, Notre Dame. Mike, we have taken J.D. Bertrand. Back here, by the way. Ding.
Ding.
92.9 The Game. Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson, talking NFL draft special day 3. And they took Bertrand, who's 6 foot, about 235. You know, this is exactly where a lot of people projected him. He was the 12th in some 10 to 12 best linebacker.
If you would have put a list of the position groups up in terms of position groups that needed help from the Atlanta Falcons.
Interior linebackers?
Interior linebacker would have been at least second to last in my mind.
Look, this guy, like, if you watch some tape on him.
Of course, quarterback would have been up there too.
He's a guy that is, like, he actually reads and reacts very quickly. Very instinctive. He's able to kind of find a way.
Film looks great. He's watching the film. It looks great.
He's one of those guys that he's always kind of around the play. Kind of like Nate Landman.
That's kind of my problem here. I am thinking Nate Landman. On the roster, okay, and still not making a ton of money.
Can we talk about something? You just drafted Bertrand. You got Bertrand. You got Caden Ellis. You got Nate Landman. What is Troy Anderson's role next year? Because personally, I think Troy Anderson could be. Everybody keeps talking about. I don't know why that Caden Ellis got this reputation that he's an edge rusher type player.
I don't either.
I've heard
it's because of his sack numbers in New Orleans, but that's not how they came.
No, they came from the inside linebacker. Honestly,
the Nielsen defense,
right place, right time. So
a lot of ways.
I don't understand. So that's the misnomer, as I've heard. Because when I hear things like this, I don't just see one person say it. I wait for multiple people to say it. And then I say, well, this must be a thing. This must be a thought or some kind of narrative that's been put out there. And then I feel the need to dispel it. Caden Ellis is not changing what he's doing. He's going to be an interior linebacker that gets his sacks based off scheme.
Caden Ellis fits as a jack, is what we used to call him, a jack linebacker in a 3-4, better than he probably did in Nielsen's as the Sam. To be completely fair about it, I mean, that's what he is. He is he's not the plugger.
Explain to people because I don't know if a lot of people are going to hear jack and know exactly
right,
what.
So in a 4-3 scheme, you have the Sam, the Mike, and the Will. You got the strong, the middle, and the weak, mm-hmm, right? When you get to a 3-4, you had to come up with another name, right? And you don't have strong, middle, and weak. You needed the fourth linebacker.
Because the fourth linebacker is your edge rusher.
The fourth linebacker can be the edge rusher. It just depends on what scheme you run or you want to call it. To me, the jack always was kind of the offset of the Mike, right? You had Sam Mike Jack Will for us. Because the Will, a lot of times when you went to a 3-down set, he used to widen out, and that's why he would stay the Will. For us, when I was used to, and this was Saban style defense, the other middle linebacker was the Jack. So you had your Mike, who would have been your landman last year, and your other middle linebacker who would have been the Jack. Last year in Ron Nielsen's defense, he played Sam.
What do you think Troy Anderson grades out to the best? Because I think Troy Anderson is going to be used in a way where I think they might come off. He might come off the edge at times. I think he's going to be the guy that is asked to do a lot of the coverage because of his size and his speed. You know, not a lot of tight ends are going to push him around or outrun him.
Well, and this is just strictly speaking. I'm not talking about Raheem's defense or what they're going to call it or what they call it in Ryan Nielsen. Strictly to what I'm used to, Troy Anderson would be a will linebacker in a 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
He would be the guy who could widen out and cover the flat, much like we talked about Dallas Turner could do.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe could grow into a role where he does rush the quarterback.
See, I just see his athletic ability, Mike, and size. He's not an undersized guy by any means.
No, he's not. But he's fast.
That's it.
Yeah.
If instinctually he can read and react quickly, I just see that really being so well suited for him.
Yeah, and listen, here's the thing. When you have a strong side linebacker, Sam, a lot of times they are over the top of a tight end or playing next to a tight end and have to take on a tight end's block, which means they're a little bit bigger of a body. Not all the time. A little bit bigger of a body. The problem is they also have to be able to cover that tight end, right? But they have to be able to set the edge on tight ends and do some of those things. So when you have a will, a lot of times you'll reduce that 4 technique down into a 3 technique, meaning he goes from covering the tackle to a guard, and that will can kind of walk on the ball, rush the passer. But if the running back releases that way,
he's got
the speed to be able to kind of make up ground and get into the flat and release with him and kind of do that. So I don't know. I have no idea what's out there. But it just seems – well, I would have told you before this last draft pick, Bo, that it seems like we have a surplus of those two middle guys, the Mike and the Jack, what I would have called it.
But you need a couple because we've seen how injuries.
Right. Troy Anderson's a prime example.
Yeah, well,
we talked about him all offseason.
And how do you think
year.
Nate Lamon probably moved into a starting job?
And then he goes down. What was that, week 2 or week 3?
Yeah, that's why I think that Bertrand is a
the landmine, by the way.
That's why I think Bertrand, and you're in the fifth round. This is, again, when people kept telling me, you still have seven pecs. So that's why I was trying to tell people, like, dude, I don't know if people understand that. That is exactly what these rounds are, is you're bringing guys in that aren't starters, that can be depth pieces and learn, and maybe one day. I mean, you never know. Grady Jarrett's are out there. Grady Jarrett was a fifth-round pick, and all he's been is, you know, to me, the most undervalued defensive tackle in the NFL the past 7, 8 years, 9 years.
What was the name of the middle linebacker from Clemson? I think he was drafted last year. Big bearded guy, thick.
Oh, that mean white dude?
Yeah. What was his name? Because that's kind of when I'm watching film with this guy we just selected on our team, that's kind of the vibe I'm getting. Absolute plugger, it looks like. I always hated when they called him thumpers, but old school Mike linebackers were thumpers. I played Rolando McClain in college, dude. He was 265. You know what I mean? Like, he was fast, but he was still
too... Are you talking about Skalski?
Skalski, that's it.
James Skalski.
That's the vibe I'm getting watching this.
Yeah, he even has a rough, like, Viking name.
Yeah. that's the vibe I'm getting. But, I mean, it's a little bit old school. What did you say his measurables were, this guy we just selected?
Bertrand. He's 6 foot, 235. He's a little bit lighter.
35.
He's a little bit lighter in the
I mean, 235 is not that light for a linebacker these days.
No, but I'm talking about that old school version. He's from Alpharetta, exactly. By the way. Bertrand went to Blessed Trinity. Yeah.
Interesting.
And guess what? Folks, guess what? We have another guy that was a sixth-year senior.
Yeah.
Because he, in 2019, he redshirted, enrolled in June, redshirted, had the pandemic season. But, you know, I have not seen – he didn't run a 40 here, so I can't do that, but – 9 3/4 hands.
There you go.
So,
well, that's always important.
Not sure
for a linebacker.
Is it? Maybe he can punch the ball. He's got small wingspan though, Mike. So he's not gonna. He did get impatient at times.
You tell me if I'm wrong.
3-year
starter. I did not imagine us loading up in the front seven the way we are doing right now.
And to your point, Freeman runs a 4-2-5 defense that likes to play man coverage. Marcus Freeman, DC/ head coach now at Notre Dame, and Bertrand was the Mike in that 4-2-5.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. He's If you designed a Mike linebacker playing Madden, he would look like this dude right now.
All right. That's funny. Let's get back to the phone lines, E. Let's get a proud card-carrying member of the nation, Chief,
God.
From South Fulton. Chief, how you doing today?
What's happening, Chief?
Hey, what's happening, Chief?
It's a beautiful Saturday. I'm going to tell you right
Chief,
now.
Chief, you in the portal yet? You coming to the Mafia? You in the portal yet?
Never have.
Hey, okay, do not tamper.
The NIL
that's tampering.
The NIL's a little bit thicker.
That is.
They
could cost you a couple of draft picks.
Yeah, that's right. Next year's mock draft, you don't get a two.
I tell you what, I got to say bingo, because I think 92.9 got it right putting you guys on today covering this draft.
Thanks,
I think they got
appreciate
you guys
that.
Got it right. Well, when I, you know, Thursday and we picked our, you know, our quarterback, I got to say, At first, I was a little taken back.
That's a good word.
And, you know, as a fan, as an Atlanta Falcon fan, now I'm a fan now, and my first thought was, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Okay, so I turned the television off.
I think that's a fair question, Chief.
Yeah, I turned my television off, took me a little nap, got up the next morning, and decided, you know what? If the coach, I love this hire as our coach, Raheem, so if he – you're going with the quarterback, I'm going to trust these guys know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know, I'm on the board where I'm trusting what they're doing this whole draft. So if they're going to draft a quarterback and take all these defensive tackles and whatever, I'm with it. Until they show me otherwise, I'm with the team. So I'm a Falcon fan. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
See, I think
Chief.
That's a great call because I agree. You. I agree 100% with you. Look, that's what I had a conversation with someone earlier, and they were trying to explain to me why this pick was what the thought process. And I said, look, I'm ride or die.
For sure.
I am always – when I get something, I normally evaluate it. If I don't like it at first, I evaluate it, and I do exactly what Chief did. Just because I'm still not telling you I'm in love with when the move was made does not mean I will not – like Jason on Twitter, Jason Cogman said, when are you going to get a Penix jersey? I said, when he becomes a starter. I don't buy jerseys anyways. I'm not a jersey guy. I don't wear them. They look big. They make me look shorter than I already am, so it doesn't really do me any good. But just so everyone knows, I'm Michael Penix's number one fan, just like I'm Kirk Cousins' number one fan right now. Anyone on this team's number one fan.
And to Chief's point, I'm definitely Raheem's number one fan right now. And you can say what you want to about Terry's draft picks, and I did have questions last year about Bijan, but Terry's draft last year was very helpful.
Somebody was trying
Only
to kill
one
his...
of those players, and that's Javon Gwynn, didn't see time, and that's because we were plenty good on the offensive line.
That's not even the right word to use. Have an impact.
Yeah, it didn't have an impact.
And a good one.
That's a good word.
Someone was killing Terry's drafts earlier, and I was the guy on Twitter defending, and I've had people come at me about that, and I'm like, dude, last year you got – at one point in time, I think all of those guys other than Gwynn didn't play, but started.
Right.
DeMarco Helms started games last year.
Clark Phillips.
Started games.
Zach Harrison.
So I think that it's just the point that, and you look at Zach Harrison's last six games, he was on fire.
Dude, he
figured
alive.
It out.
He really
and I
did.
Think we need to remember that when we talk about guys coming off that that guard tackle area and then into the edge. And I don't think he's an edge player, but he's going to play that Calais.
You know, I'll be interested to see what they do with him.
I think he's built to play Calais's type, like
just
a Calais Campbell.
Like, what does that look like in this defense is going to be the question.
Well, I think that's a guy that's going to
– he's going to have to play the four technique slash the end. You don't usually see guys that long because they do have to slide down and play the B gap from time to time. But he did that last year, and Calais did that last year.
That's why I asked you if at one point they could look like a Giants-type package that they had when they had all those O.C. and Strahan because of his – his length with some of those guys.
Dude, that was a nightmare. We ran up against that. What was that, 2010 in the playoffs?
No, that was 2011. Oh. That was up there. It was like the 26-2 game or whatever, 24-2.
Oh, my gosh, that makes me sick.
We went for it. Remember, we go for it. I think it was in the first half, and we get just absolutely
miserable day. Gloomy,
stoned.
Cold. Ugh.
Was that a Saturday or a Sunday that game was played, right?
I think it was a Sunday.
Yeah, I remember that. Let's go back to the phones. Let's get Kyle and Tucker. Kyle, you're on with Mike and Bo, the Day 3 92.9 The Game draft special. What do you like about not just the Penix pick, but the other picks as well? You can talk about all of them. Just, you know, don't get too long-winded because that's my role in the show.
Hey, guys. Love the show. First-time caller.
Thanks, man.
Fire Fontenot.
that's where I'm at. I get everyone's trying to be positive and come around on this thing, but the more I look at it, we have mishandled 7 quarterbacks under Fontenot. 7. The way everything went down with trying to get Deshaun Watson, right, and we start leaking out the information, you offended Matt Ryan. All that Watson ended up doing, and thank God for Cleveland being bigger suckers than we would have been in that, because it was a bad PR move on Matt Ryan. It was a bad PR move to bring Watson in, and it turned out for Cleveland to be a bad football move. But they were all in on that, and that went, you know, onion truck up on Cleveland instead of us, because we could be hooked right there. So then you go to plan B, which is to bring in the grenade thrower Mariota, who couldn't play no more. And then you took what I thought at the good time was a worthwhile risk in Ritter in the 3rd round to see if he could develop. But then you left him on the bench for an extra year because you wanted to play the grenade thrower Mariota to give yourself some chance, even though it wouldn't go nowhere. So it sets you back another year. So we spent another year trying to see if Mariota could play. We brought in Heinicke. Turns out he can't play either. You finally seems like you did the right thing. You did go after the older injury risk. You went in on Kirk Cousins. I love that. But now you turn around and you fumble it with him too by wasting this pick on a guy you could have gotten later. And quite frankly, he's not the sit and wait and see how he develops guy that you should have targeted in this draft, in my opinion. I have no faith in his decision-making abilities and evaluating talent. I mean, even go back, I think there's questions within the organization. He wasn't even part of the press conference initially after the season, after the coach was let go.
All right,
appreciate it, Kyle. Look, I understand. I think everybody's got a right to their opinion, whether I agree with it or not. And I'll tell you, there's a lot to get into what he went through with some of that. The Ryan thing was not the best look for anyone. I think, but to your point, Kyle, the as you called him, the grenade thrower, and D. Ritty, the Cincinnati kid, those two players are solely responsible for the fact that you did, to me, that you drafted Michael Penix Jr. at 8, because you basically said
the overcorrection.
Yes. Tommy Eichenberg just came off the board, the linebacker out of Ohio State, 6'2", 233. I really like that player, and I think he is. I think he and J.D. Bertrand are very similar. I think Eichenberg may be a little bit more versatile in some of the things, but I think they're about the same player.
All right, we got to get a break. When we come back, Michael Penix yesterday got to town.
Great
and
interview.
Joined our friends Carl Dukes and Mike Bell.
This is a really good interview.
If you haven't heard it, it's great stuff. That's coming up on the other side. It's a 92.9 draft special. Got Squid Billy, Mike Johnson with you, hanging out. We'll be right back in just a minute.
And we are here with him at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Michael Penix Jr.
What's up?
What's going on, man?
Hey, man.
First of all, brother, you look good. I mean, that suit is woo.
I appreciate it.
Fire.
I always like the white collar, the tab collar, Carl, with the shirt. That's tight. That's always
sir.
Tight.
I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
First and foremost, man, that can't be lost in this all this other stuff that we're about to talk about, and everybody's crazy about the draft. Just congratulations on living your dream and getting here. What's this been like, man, these last, I guess, 12 hours now?
Yeah.
What's it been like?
It's been crazy. You know, it's a real moment. You know, something I've been dreaming of since a kid, and I'm just super excited for the opportunity, and I can't wait to make the most out of it. So
how surprised were you that the Falcons were the guys who picked you?
I wouldn't say I was much surprised, you know, I'm not going to say also I was fully expecting it, you know, but I know that I had a great workout with them and the coaching staff, you know, I feel like they were very impressed and they told me that they really liked me, you know, as a player and as a person. So I'm super excited to be able to be a part of this staff. So,
Michael, what was it, though, in your workout that you thought you did well? You know, like when you come off the field, you're like, man, I killed that. I crushed it. What was it about the Falcons workout? I know you had a couple, but what was it about that felt you left and felt good about what you had shown to them?
I'll just say the way I work, the way I went about it, you know, just the detail that I had, the attention to detail. You know, they were teaching me different footwork, different things that, you know, they do within the offense. I feel like I took that on, and I threw great. You know, I feel like every ball was thrown great. You know, obviously, like you hear the story, it was like windy. It was real windy. It was a cold day. You know, it was outside, and
you were slinging it.
I was slinging it, you know, through the wind. So yeah, man, I feel like that also was probably impressed them too. You know, just for me to be able to do it within those conditions.
We played some audio with Michael Penix Jr. live inside the Ticketmaster Studios here at Falcons headquarters. Your old coach, Kalen DeBoer, talking about what makes you. Right. For those, and by now most folks know the journey, but talk about it, man. First, you know, from high school in Florida to Indiana, and then and dealing with the adversity and the injuries and everything that made you. Talk about it.
Yeah, man, I've been through a lot, you know, to get into this spot right now, you know, being on this show. You know, I feel like, you know, it took a lot to get here, you know, but I'm super blessed for it. I wouldn't change it for anything. You know, I feel like everything I've been through, you know, helped shape me into the person, the player I am today, you know. So, and it was crazy, you know, like all the injuries, it was tough to go through, you know, but I just continue to keep my faith and, you know, I leaned on my family and all the ones that loved and supported me throughout that process.
Michael Penix Jr. threw for 4,900 yards, guys. He played with some dudes we saw last night that went in the draft. Yeah. Congratulations to your boy, Roma Dunze.
Yes,
I know, you know, you guys are starting your careers, and it's going to be cool to watch. Talk about these injuries. We've gotten the question, Michael, about how this may have played out. Did teams focus on that with you? Mm-hmm. And how much of that was the discussion? I know we're talking, what, 4 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
Was that even a part of the discussion, or was it just about ball?
Yeah, it was mainly about ball. You know, obviously, you know, I had to do the medicals and stuff like that, you know, just to make sure I'm good and I'm clear right now. And once I got through that part, you know, I feel like it was just about ball. It wasn't really about the injuries, you know, because, you know, I feel like one of the biggest reasons why I came back for my sixth year, you know, at the University of Washington, just to show that I can have 2 years of, you know, being healthy instead of just 1 year. You know, I do it just for 1 year, but I was like, okay, if I do it back to back, you know, and just be even better, you know, obviously I put myself in a great position, and I was able to do that.
COVID allowed that, though, right? That,
correct.
For you to come back. A lot,
correct,
of people don't know that. I mean, Bo Nix was another guy last night.
Yep.
You're one of them. COVID gave these guys an extended another year to come back to school, and I think that's important when people talk about, oh, you know, how long was he there? 5 or 6 years? COVID did that.
Yeah, it was COVID. It was COVID that did that.
Now, you're raring to go. What have they told you about how this is going to play out, man? Obviously, we pay Kirk Cousins a lot of loot. Mm-hmm. You guys are very similar. You're a lefty. He's a righty. But your guys at pocket passes. Real quick, let me back that up. You surprised a lot of people with your 40 time.
Yeah.
I mean, was that like, I knew I could do that, but I mean, that kind of blew, that kind of elevated you in some people's minds that you, how the mobility you didn't want to necessarily have to show on the football field.
Yeah, for me, I always knew I could run, you know, and everybody around me, you know, the whole team, they knew I could run as well. You know, it was just, you know, I never showed it in the game. You know, I didn't have to. I had a lot of weapons around me. You know, my processing ability on the field, you know, it was, I feel like, second to none. You know, I feel like I prepared to the level to where I was able to get to my fourth and fifth read, you know, just because I'm off of my first and second based on, you know, coverages and, you know, just all the preparation and film study I'm doing, you know. So, you know, I feel like I didn't have to run much. You know, like, right. You didn't see me get sacked a lot, you know, and I'm sitting in the pocket, you know, I'm delivering throws, you know, to my receivers, you know. So, for me, I just wanted to write that on my own narrative, you know. That's why I wanted to run. I'm like, okay, I know what I can do. And everybody that's close to me know what I can do, but I'm going to show everybody else what I can do. So it was super fun to be able to do that.
What else is Michael Penix into, man? I mean, obviously you love football. You're blessed with ability. When it's not this, what is it for you?
Yeah, man, I love to fish. I'm a fishing guy.
Salt water, or are we talking?
I like salt water, but I go lakes too. I started off at lakes, upgraded to salt water. Still go to a lake every now and then.
Because you spent time in Florida, so you know how to get out on a bay and get
right.
it done.
Okay. Yeah. For sure, yes, right. sir.
Originally from Tampa, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's funny, man. I don't know if you saw what Pitts said about you last night. They were watching the draft, and you get drafted, and Kyle Pitts was like, man, yeah, we were watching him because apparently you guys have known or aware of each other, I guess, you know, high schools or family or whatever. But he was talking highly about your ability, and when you got drafted, he's like, man. Guy can throw the ball, you know. So
sure.
it was cool to hear him compliment you in that way. But your family, talk a little bit about, you know, your background and your upbringing, man, because coming back down here. I mean, you went to Washington, and I don't know if a lot of people know you're from down south, right?
Right, yeah, man. I got both my parents. You know, my mom, she was a track star. My dad, he played football. They were at Tennessee Tech University. You know, that's where my younger brother is. Now I got two little brothers, as a matter of fact, but one of them is in college, you know. But I have a great family, great support system. You know, obviously, being away in Washington, it was different. You know, it's far. You know, they got to make that trip. You know, they probably didn't want to make that trip always, but they always did, you know, just because of the love and the support that they have for me. And I'm super blessed to be able to have that in my life. So I can't thank them enough.
It's like an hour five from TPA to ATL.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true.
It's true. Our man Michael Penix exactly. Jr. is here. So, yeah, getting back to it. So, I mean, you'll be 24 in a couple of days. Next month is your birthday.
Yes, sir.
So how raring are you to go? What are they telling you about how this plays out, the competition? How does it work?
Yeah, for me, you know, I just know I want to come here and make an impact any way that I can. You know, obviously, Kirk Cousins, you know, he's an amazing guy, an amazing quarterback as well. You know, I say that because of the amount of time he's been in the league. You know, he's been here for a while. He's done great things. You know, he's won games. He won games at the highest level, which is here in the NFL. And I can't wait to be able to work with him, to learn from him and support him, you know, throughout this whole journey, you know. But for me, that's my main focus, you know, just to try to get 1% better each and every day. You know, be a great person, be a great teammate, a great leader, not just on but off the field as well in the locker room.
Tell us about your competitive fire, man. I mean, we see your ability on Saturdays. We saw what you were able to do, but – day to day, like, what's the process for you? How do you approach this thing?
Yeah, when you say tell you about my competitive fire, you know, it's tough just to say what it is because, you know, I can show you better than what I can tell you,
yeah.
You know, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a guy that, you know, I'm going to go do it. You know, everything that I do, I'm going to make sure it's something that can lead me to be successful, you know. So the way I take care of my body, the way I work each and every day, workouts, you know, just always trying to be the first one, you know, first one in, last one out, you know, just going in, attacking each and every day with that mindset that, you know, I want to be better and do whatever I can to help the team. And that's what it's always been about for me, and that's what it's going to continue to be about for me, and I just can't wait to get to work.
It's our new quarterback, guys, Michael Penix Jr. here live inside the Ticketmaster Studios at Falcons headquarters. You beat my boys Longhorns in the semifinal game.
It happens.
Dropping dimes. Have you always had that accuracy? Because some guys say you just can't coach that level, or is it something you've continued to work on?
I mean, I had it for a while, you know, but I feel like it definitely got better through the years. You know, ever since I was a little kid, I always threw a good deep ball. You know, that was one thing I always threw good.
Go deep. Go deep.
Yeah, I always threw a good deep ball for some reason. I always had that. But, you know, obviously as you get older, you learn mechanics and different things like that, you know, to help you be even more better. And that's what helped me a lot, too, you know, throughout these years. You know, been with different quarterback coaches to help me, you know, just improve my game, you know, in different aspects of it. So,
anybody you emulate after, man? Anybody you watch coming up and you say, hey, I love the way they play?
Yeah, I won't say I really ever emulated anybody. You know, I always try to be myself, and you know, and just try to find ways to, you know, gain that competitive edge, you know, and find things that I did best, and try to use that to the best of my abilities and put that into my play, you know. But, you know, growing up, man, now I'm here in Atlanta.
Say it.
Mike Vick. Mike Vick.
For those who don't
there
know,
it is.
Left-handed as well, Carl.
There it is.
Yeah, man, Mike Vick. I always looked at Mike Vick growing up, you know. But you don't see me running how he did.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give him his flowers on his legs, you know. But I could do it too, but I'm not going to say I could do it like that. But, whenever I need to use my legs, I will, and I'm do whatever I can to help my team win football games. So.
Michael Penix Jr. is with us, guys, as you say, getting 1% better. What is something you want to work on? What is something you want to work on to improve your game?
Yeah, just trusting my legs, you know, like I'm talking about my legs right now, just trusting it. You know, like I said, you know, always knowing the talent and abilities I have within my feet, you know, but, you know, just with my processing abilities, the way I'm able to get through my reads, knowing what my check down is, knowing when to throw it away, when to save it down and stuff like that, you know. So it was sometimes like I go back and look at film and I'm like, okay, I got a three technique rushing at me, you know, and I throw the ball away, you know, nobody's open, I dirt it somewhere, and I'm like, okay, that's a safe play. I still got my team in a good position. We're not getting behind the sticks and stuff like that. And that's how I go about my game. You know, I try to manage the game, but I do look back and I'm like, okay, that's a three technique. He's about three something.
I ain't messing with that.
He can't run. He can't run what I run. So sometimes I do feel like I can, you know, scramble and extend the play. And that's something that I'm going to work on, you know, with my, you know, progressions.
With those Washington Huskies and maybe going back to your time with the Hoosiers, is everybody in the huddle? I'm open, man. I got this guy.
Nah, I never really had that much. You know, I had a lot of unselfish guys, you know, guys that wanted to see everybody be great, you know, around them. So I'm super blessed to be able to have that. But, you know, they all know that I'm going to find a way to get you the ball. You get open, I'm going to find a way to get it to you.
Well, you played with pros there, right? I mean, that had to be a benefit. You're seeing it now with guys getting drafted, but everybody all season was like, well, he's playing with like three NFL guys. How was it that a benefit for you? Because I think it is coming into the league and having played with that kind of caliber player.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's definitely a benefit. You know, those guys are remarkable. You know, I had three great receivers, a running back, tight ends, offensive line. It was all across the board. You know, I had a lot of great guys around me. You know, so I was super blessed to be able to have that. And, you know, I feel like we work together to help each other be better. And I feel like, you know, for me in my game, I try to highlight everybody else around me. You know, so whenever people talk about me not running much, I'm like, okay, I got that guy. I want to get him the ball. I want to make him look successful and stuff like that. But, you know, I also been in a place where I didn't have that. Now, I was at Indiana. I found success, was a part of the number 7 team in the country, you know, whenever I was there. You know, and we didn't have a guy on offense that was ever drafted my whole time there.
Right.
You know, so it's like I've been in that position where, you know, I didn't have much, you know, but it was just a lot of guys that was working hard and just not worrying about the outside noise and just going in, just competing at a high level and just going in and putting in the work with our head down, you know. So I've had both sides of it and been able to be successful in both sides of it. So I'm super excited about the future.
Man, we were pulling for you at a national championship game, even after losing Texas.
Man. I was.
I just felt if Dylan Johnson wasn't banged up, if he could have, it was 100%, it just changes that dynamic in that game.
It does. You know, he was banged up. He was banged up for a little bit of time, you know, throughout the year. You know, started during, I think it was a championship game, the Pac-12. You know, he kind of got banged up. So it was tough, you know, but it kind of took away our run game. But for us, we just continue to try to play our game.
Michael Penix, you and the A. Welcome.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother, for being here. Good luck with everything. We're looking forward to seeing you. Let's get to work.
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
You and A. Welcome. The man of the hour, Michael Penix.
The best part about the draft pick for me is what makes it better is, you know, just how good of a human being he is, how good of a kid he is, and how good of a player he can be. I've got a question for you that's kind of draft-centric but off the beaten path of what we've talked about all day.
Hit me with it.
Why, first off, it all leads up to a conclusion I have, but the first thing is why do people in war rooms wear suits normally with ties on day one? There was one war room that looked like they were all in the mafia where they had the suits but no tie.
Sure.
And all the same suit, black suit, white shirt, collar kind of popped a little bit. But why do they wear suits on day one and then the rest of the draft they're in regular clothes?
I think it goes along the lines of you dress for the job you want, not the one you have.
But you're in the same job.
I know, but maybe it's dress for the pick that you want, not the pick that you have.
So you don't want those second round picks? And then the last thing is, do we need a cutaway after every draft pick has been made?
What else are you going to show?
Of the congratulatory.
I'd rather than that than the B-roll of the fan in the crowd.
Show me the film on the guy. Like, add extra 35 seconds of film of the player instead of like, oh, and here is the war room where they are all congratulating each other about the pick that they think will be the next blah, blah, blah.
All right, it's the NFL Draft Special. Squid Billy, Mike Johnson. Coming up next, you've been selected. Terry called your phone. You talked to Arthur Blank. What's next? I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. When these guys will get to town, what's coming up on the near future for these guys.
Can I tell you what I would do before you tell me the reality?
I don't know. Go to the varsity. Get a hot dog.
Maybe not.
What is it?
I'll tell you on the other side. And more of your calls. 404-726-0929. Tell us what you think about the Falcons draft. Back in a couple here on the Sports Radio 929 The Game, the draft special.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.